Well, good morning. So glad to see every single one of you here. Glad that we've got some of our sick ones back with us. And we need to continue to pray for those that are still sick and dealing with all this stuff that's going around. Hopefully we can start to get rid of it. If Clyde's doing his job, maybe we can do that. I want to talk to you this morning about a problem that it's not always easy to talk about and not always easy to think about in regards to ourselves. But God has called us to something, called us to a great calling in Jesus. Because becoming a Christian is not just about getting our sins forgiven. It's about becoming the child that He wants us to be. It's about honoring Him and glorifying Him and turning away from the evil of this world. And yet sometimes, even after we've made this commitment to Christ, we still fall back into sin. And sometimes it's not just sinful things that we do, it's that we don't take the necessary steps to distance ourselves from the world. There are things that the world engages in that may not necessarily be sinful in and of themselves, but they're the steps towards sin. And it's walking a fine line. But as people of God, as people of light, as people of purity, we should be striving to get further and further away from the things that put us into the slavery of sin. In the terrible situation that we are in. But before we talk more about that, I want us to think about what we became. For those of us that have already made the commitment to become Christians. First of all, we became Christians. We were bought with a price. We were paid for with a high cost. And the Bible tells us about that in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In reality, we could say that God owns us two times over. First of all, He's our Creator, and we should have been serving Him all along. But when we fell into sin, and then we became Christians, He owned us again because He bought us with the blood of Christ. Peter tells us that and highlights this again in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." I want you to think about a situation. I want you to consider that an evil, wicked person came up to you on the street and kidnapped you. And they took you to some dark basement somewhere and they tied you up, forcing you to do terrible things to yourself. That's in essence the situation that we're into when we give ourselves over to the devil, when we sin. And you think about how scary of a situation that is. What would you think about someone that no one else was capable of getting you out of that situation except one person? And that person came and they gave their life. They went through terrible agony and pain to be able to save you from that situation. They ransomed you. They paid the price, and the price was their own life. That's in essence what Jesus has done for all of us who are Christians. We were bought with a price. When we became Christians, we became members of Christ's body. We became part of Jesus Himself. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never." When we became Christians, we became part of His body. The church is called the body of Christ. And so every one of us that are members of Christ's church are now part of Him. And we represent Jesus in the world. And so the things that we do and the way that we do them, in essence, represents Jesus. What do our lives say about Him? What are we involving Christ in the things that we do in our lives? When we became Christians, we put on the name of the Lord. It's just like, you know, the Bible talks about Christ in the church as a husband and wife relationship. The church is the bride of Christ. And for most women, and we understand that when you get married, you take on your husband's name. I realize that you don't have to do that, but that's generally what's done and what's been done throughout history. And when we became a Christian, we took on the name of the Lord. We married Him in essence. And He is our husband now. He is our head. And now we are known by His name. Listen as the Bible talks about this in Acts 15 and verse 14. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, "After this, I will return," God says, "and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old." When we became Christians, we are people of His name. We are called by His name. Christian means a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. We are the people of the Lord. And how should that be reflective in our lives? When we became a Christian, we became children of God. What a wonderful thing to think about. John 1 and verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I want you to think about that. We've come out of sins and children of this world, from an impossible situation. But with God, all things are possible. And now we've come out of that and we're His children. What an amazing thing. And John was overwhelmed with that thought here in 1 John 3 and verse 1. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." I want you to think about all of these things. When we became Christians, we were bought with a price. We became members of Christ's body. We put on the name of the Lord. We became children of God. What does this mean? How should this be seen in our lives? Well, because we are bought with a price, we are not to serve ourselves. That's what we saw in that verse in 1 Corinthians 6. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." When we became Christians, we committed that I'm no longer going to serve myself. I'm no longer going to say, "What do I want to do?" I'm going to say, "God, what do You want to do? You created me. You've bought me with the blood of Your Son. So glorify God in your body." And you and I should be doing that. That's the commitment in our lives as Christians. Because we become members of Christ's body, we must not involve Christ in sin. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15 again, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never." Paul, do we really make Christ a member of a prostitute? No, not in some physical reality, but he's saying spiritually, we have become part of Christ's body. And so when we say, "I'm a Christian," when we go out in the world and profess to be God's children, God's people, and then we involve ourselves in sin, and we live just like the world, we're involving Christ in those things. And so he says, should I do this kind of a thing? I think all of us can realize what a weighty sin that is, to involve Christ in wicked things. Listen to this passage in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God gave His Son for us. But God says, if you want to take part in that, if you want to be my people, then be separate from the world. Be holy. Be set apart. Don't touch the unclean things anymore. A common phrase that Jesus said in His teaching, go and sin no more. When we recognize all that God has done for us, God says to us, go and sin no more. Leave that life behind so I can show you what life is really all about. It must not involve Christ and sin. We must not shame the Lord's name. If we've taken on His name, we must not shame that name. The people of Israel were said to have done this. They were the old covenant people of God. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. And that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord. And yet they had to go out of His land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Israel, Judah, they were the people of God. And the nations around them knew that. They had heard about the things that God had done for them. Many of the Gentiles in the Old Testament say, oh, we know about your God. We know what you have done. But and yet then they turned to sin. They turned to idols. They became like the nations around them, as if God, being the people of God, doesn't mean anything to them. And then who today? If someone were to say, who are the people of the Lord? Who would they say? Well, Christians. The followers of Christ. They're the people of the Lord today. Brothers and sisters, what do people see when they see our lives? Are they lives that glorify God, or are they lives that profane His name and blaspheme the name of which we have taken? We need to think about that and what it means to be a Christian. Think about this last phrase God said to them. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. What will God do? What is waiting for those who shame and profane God's holy name? Because we're God's children, we must become holy like our Father is holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 17. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know, sometimes we want the benefits of being Christians without having to give something ourselves. We want the sacrifice of Christ without having to sacrifice for Christ. And listen to what He says. If you call on Him as Father, if He's your God, if you are thankful that you can be a child of God, if you are thankful that you can pray to God, then conduct yourselves with fear. Think about what God wants you to be in your life. Think about how He wants you to live your life. You shall be holy, for I am holy. What this comes down to is what we find out in 1 John 1 and verse 5. John simply says, God is light. God is light. And we are called to be lights like Him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We should be characterized. The people of God should be characterized by holy living and good works. We should be lights in this world. You know, we complain about the world getting worse and worse, but how can we complain if we're not contributing to it getting better? If we're not shining a light and saying there's something better than the evil of this world? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Don't hide that light, but put it up on a stand so everybody can see it. Let your good works shine before others." We must be lights like God is light. But as we think about this problem, if God is light and He has called us to be light, why do Christians have a problem with worldliness? Why do we have a problem with falling back into sin? So often, this is the case with many Christians. Listen to this situation that Jesus talks about in Luke 11, beginning in verse 24. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first." Some people, this is in essence what happens when we become Christians. We get the evil spirits out of us. We're cleaned out. We're forgiven and cleansed through the blood of Jesus. But then something happens and we let the evil spirits come back in. And often when that happens, we end up worse than we ever were. But in this same chapter, in the same context of talking about that, listen to some things that Jesus says. Luke 11 and verse 27. "As He said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed.' But He said, 'Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it.' Your eye," in verse 34, "your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." He said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it." And then He said, "Darkness comes in us because we allow things, dark, evil, wicked things, to come in us." So in essence, what I think Jesus is saying is, darkness will continue to win over our lives until we stop choosing to consume evil and are constantly consuming the light of God's Word. We decide, "I'm no longer going to watch movies and TV shows with evil. I'm no longer going to hang out with people that are taking me further from God instead of closer. I'm no longer going to listen to music that causes me to think about bad things and evil words. I'm no longer going to involve myself in sin. But I'm going to dedicate my time to knowing the Word of God, to knowing my Lord better and better, and becoming more like Jesus." The reason we fall back into sin, the reason we become worldly people, is because we're still trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And we can't do that. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other." We've got to choose. Either all to God or all to the world. And so, we need to understand that if we choose to keep involving ourselves in the world, to keep involving ourselves in darkness, that we cannot have a relationship with God. In that same passage that John said God is light, listen to what else he says. "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you know what this passage doesn't say? This passage doesn't say, if you are perfect, if you do not sin at all, you can have a relationship with Jesus. We need to understand that. He goes on in the following chapters to make a difference between practicing sin and practicing righteousness. That's the meaning of to walk in the light and to walk in darkness. Is our lives characterized by darkness? Are we still trying to live in the world? Or are we trying to walk in the light? Are we growing? Are we progressing towards the light? But if we're not doing that, what we need to understand from this passage is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we're continuing to try to walk in the light, we cannot have a relationship. To walk in the darkness, we cannot have a relationship with God. But if we're trying to walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the Jews had an attitude as the people of God. You know, we're the people of God. We're the people that received the law. We're the people that were circumcised. And so, God's going to love us no matter what. God will never forsake us. God will never leave us. And sometimes Christians have that same kind of attitude. Well, we're the people of God. I've been baptized. I go to church. And so God will never, I'm okay. I'm good to go. But as he talks about the Jews in this passage, we could very well just insert Christians and apply that to ourselves. Listen to what he says. If you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. You know, sin is sin, and sinners they're all going to be judged the same in the end. But there's a sense in which people that become Christians, and they boast about being God's people, and then continue to walk in darkness that are worse than people that ever pretend to follow the truth. God doesn't want pretenders. God wants loving, committed children. And we dishonor God when we break His law, when we continue to try to walk in darkness. Some other important points that Paul makes along this line. He says in chapter 2 and verse 24, "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision, and circumcision is a matter of the heart." It didn't matter if the Jews were circumcised. It didn't matter if they kept the festivals. God said, if your heart doesn't get right, I'm not interested in those things. That's not what makes a person who I want them to be. And so he says your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. What about those of us that have been baptized into Jesus? Does it matter that at one point in time, at one day, we have been baptized, but then we go and walk in darkness? Is that what God wants? People that have been dipped in water, but now they're still wicked people? No. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that when we're baptized, we're dying with Christ, partaking in His death and dying to our old life of sin. And we rise to new life. And so if we continue to walk in darkness, you might as well say our baptism becomes unbaptism. And so baptism and following God is a matter of the heart. Are we committed? Do we understand what we're doing? And do we continue in that faith? and in that understanding. If the light in you be darkness, I think Jesus would say the same thing He said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so we need to understand that. God has called us to be people of light. And are we walking in the light, or are we walking in darkness? And this has been a lesson towards Christians, and so Christians need to understand that today, if you recognize you're walking in darkness, don't leave this building without praying to God and asking for His forgiveness. And you can come up here, and we will pray with you, and we will encourage you. Because that's what this family is all about. It's about helping one another and encouraging one another as the day of judgment and the day of our death draws closer. But if you're not a Christian, you have not even begun this journey. Your sins have not even been forgiven in Jesus. And so if you have not been baptized into Him, but you believe that He lived, you believe that He's the Son of God, you believe that He rose from the dead, and you believe that you can have life in His name, you can come forward this morning confessing that faith, and you can be baptized into Him and leave this place in newness of life. What's your choice? Are you ready to commit yourself to God? Are you ready to recommit yourself to God? You make that choice right now as we sing this song.